I will ask us to read Psalm 91 as part of our reading today. You will recall that we have been doing some reflections on the Lord's Prayer. Lord, teach us to pray. And we are continuing on that sort of theme today. We're continuing on that, reflecting on Lord, teach us to pray. Reflecting on prayer. Psalm 91, verse 1 and 2. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. Matthew chapter 6, verse 5 to 15 is where we find the Lord's Prayer. We won't read that long passage. We've been reading it for the past over a month now, so we won't read the long passage, but keeping that passage in mind and remembering that the disciples came to Jesus and they said, Lord, teach us to pray. Not necessarily teach us how to pray only, but teach us to pray. Some who are more clever than me, they go as far as suggesting that the disciples say to Jesus, cause us to pray. Enable us to pray. Equip us to pray. And right throughout Scripture, from the Old Testament through to the New Testament, we find people praying. And they say prayers in different places, at different times, different kinds of prayers. And right through those who pray in Scripture, there's some thoughts we can share about prayer. What it is to pray. Yes, we have prayers. Sometimes we can get prayers online, we download the prayer, or you know, we can read prayers from Scripture, we can share prayers, we can write out prayers. In fact, as we go forward, we'll be inviting, we'll be asking people to share a prayer. If you can share a prayer, you can, if you don't mind standing up and reading the prayer or sharing the prayer or saying the prayer. Or if you write out a prayer and someone else can read it, if you're not sort of a standing in front of people and talking kind of person, you can write out a prayer, you can share a prayer. And those at home who are participating through online, you can email a prayer and we can share that prayer together. There's something about praying together. There's a blessing when we pray together. When someone else prays and they say something that I may not have said it myself, but I get fellowship in that prayer. I share in that prayer. Or maybe it's a reading. I share in that reading. It blesses me. It blesses you. We bless one another. We encourage one another in that way. Now, five thoughts about prayer, what it is that we are doing when we pray. Why pray? Why prayer? Number one, prayer is about getting alone with God. Prayer is about getting alone with God. Particularly in the world we are living in today, but generally in the world anyway, at any point. We are cluttered, we are overloaded with what's happening around us, with other people, with news, with the busyness of life. But rarely do we then reflect, sit back and reflect and be alone with God and declutter our life and declutter our minds and be alone with God. Jesus would minister to people. He would heal, he would teach, he would do all the good works that he was doing. And after, it says he would withdraw to prayer, as though, remember when the woman with the issue of blood came and touched the hem of his garment, Jesus said, I felt virtue, I felt power living, I felt power going out of me into that person. Whenever we interact with our surrounding, virtue, power, energy comes out of us. You sometimes feel, I need to have some me time. I need to be alone, away from what's happening around me. How best to have me time when you have a me and God time? How best to have a mindfulness time? In fact, in psychology, they will call it mindfulness, where you reflect into the now moment. We have taken God out of our lives and we have left mindfulness as a science in itself. But how great to be mindful than to be mindful of God, mindful with God. Prayer is being alone with God, reaching out with my finite being, my limited being, with all my limitations, with all my weaknesses, reaching out to the omniscient God, reaching out to the omnipotent God, to the omnipresent God. Prayer is about reaching out and being alone with God, irrespective of what has been happening. Not burying my head in the sand. There was a QC, George Carmen QC, one of the well-known QCs. He's late now. He said something about burying one's head in the sand, but that cannot be repeated in behind the pulpit, but he said it in court. Being alone with God is not about burying our head in the sand and saying, I don't see, I don't hear anything around me, but is about saying, whatever is happening around me, I'm aware of it, but I am looking at God. Looking unto Jesus, scripture says, the author and the finisher of our faith in Hebrews. Being alone with God, reflecting and reaching out to the Creator. Prayer number two is about getting along with God. Not only do we get alone with God and reflect in what God is doing and who God is to us and reflecting in who we are in God, but also getting along with God, reflecting on the will of God, on the mind of God, reflecting on the scriptures. You know, the Bible says, God says in Isaiah, my thoughts are not your thoughts, my mind is not your mind. My thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. How do I line up my ways with God's ways? How better to do so than to be alone with God and be aware of God's ways, be aware of God's presence. Develop that living and loving and dynamic relationship with God. Prayer sometimes makes us feel somehow humbled in a way, because we are recognizing that it's not all about me. We live in a world where we boast about being a self-made man, a self-made woman. I made it myself. I'm self-made. Prayer impinges on that. Prayer reminds us that we are not self-made, but reminds us when we come into prayer to get along with God and recognize that who we are, what we are, where we are, is not because we are wise, it's not because we are clever. We have not achieved because of our own personal fortitude and wisdom. But all is a gift from God, which takes us to the next point. Prayer is being thankful to God. Prayer is being thankful to God, saying thank you to God. And that makes us grow in our faith, because we are taking ourselves back to the Maker. I said when I last shared at the over 50s lunch, seems like an age ago now, isn't it? I said about the car that I had at one point, a Ford. And I had this nice little Ford car, which whenever something went wrong, I didn't necessarily take it to Ford's, but I would take it to the nearest corner garage at the corner of the street. And they'll pick up whatever they could and they'll patch it. And the next time if something is wrong, I go and pick something else from somewhere else and they'll patch it together. Some years later, when I took it to the actual manufacturer for a proper checkup, they looked at it, they say, "You've got a Ford by name, but what you have here, we don't know what to call it." Some bits, they came from a lawnmower. Other bits came from some other car. Some of it, we don't even know where it came from. Don't we do that in life? We become who we are just by share, by the name that we have and the structure and the appearance. But really, in essence, we have lost our bearing from the Creator. We have become self-sufficient. We have become self-made, when in fact we are God-made. Our will, our desire to get things by ourselves is rebellious against God. We don't want someone else or something else being more powerful, being more prominent in our lives. But prayer bends that rebellious will, and it bends us over to God, makes us realize and acknowledge that God is supreme. God is above all. And number three, prayer is getting adjusted to life. You know, prayer puts life in perspective. When you pray, you see things in perspective. You begin to see things the God way of seeing things. You begin to realize that there is such a thing as the will of God. And God's will, you know, Jesus said, when you pray, say, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And so that adjusts our perspective of life. As I say, we're not burying our head in the sand, but we are saying every knowledge is finite. Every wisdom apart from God is finite. It is limited. There is unlimited wisdom, which is God's wisdom, God's knowledge. We don't know what tomorrow holds, but we know to hand our tomorrow to the hands of God. And in prayer, that's what we are doing. We lay our priorities when we are looking at the will of God and what God wants to do and what God is doing in our lives. We then utter our priorities to God. You know, God invites us to speak out our priorities to Him. Make our requests known to Him. And in that way, we are being adjusted to life. That we look at life the way God wants us to see it. That we look at life the way God sees life. That we are not accidentally stumbling around, but we have God watching over us. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, and in Him I will trust. Number four, prayer is about getting answers from God. We always focus on that bit and not the rest. But it is also true that prayer is about getting answers from God. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door shall be opened. Ask and you will receive. We pray to God for answers when we ask from God. We don't answer the prayers ourselves, but we give them over to God for answers. And therefore, the fact that I pray doesn't make me answerable to the answers that I've got or that I haven't got. But I hand over my requests to God. So prayer is praying for answers. I'm going to remind us, and I'm going to ask us to be bold and brave. And remember that when we pray for answers. Yes, there is the cathartic expression in prayer. But prayer is more than a psychological catharsis. We are praying for answers because our God answers prayer. God hears our prayer. He invites us to pray and He answers prayer. He may not answer at the time that I would. If I were to answer my prayers, I know when I would want them answered and I know how I would want them answered. And I know every detail how I wish my prayers to be answered. But God does not always answer our prayers when we want them answered. Or even in the manner we want them answered. Or in the manner we hope and wish to have our prayers answered. Sometimes He answers prayers in the ways that we didn't want Him to answer in. Or in the way we did not expect. He uses voices and means that we didn't expect. But God answers prayer. We pray to God because He hears and He answers when we pray. And finally, prayer is about thanksgiving, as we say, about giving thanks to God, thanking Him for the prayers He's answered. Thanking Him for what He has done. There are so many things that God does in our lives which we haven't even prayed for. And prayer is about being grateful to God and saying thank you. And saying thank you. Even for those things that in my life I have attributed to chance. Or those things that I have felt clever enough, wise enough. I made good decisions. But there is a need to step back and say thank you. Thank you to God who watched over you while you were asleep. Thank you to God who watched over you even while He watches us in our waking and in our lying down. And I'm going to ask us to be brave enough to say thank you to God even for those things we can't see, which may have affected us, but they didn't. Not because I am clever or I am wise or I am holy, but because of His grace. There's nothing you and I can do to deserve any good thing from God. He gives us good things by grace. And prayer is saying thank you. Thank you for the grace. Prayer is looking at the glory of God and giving Him the praise that is due to Him. Prayer is suggested in Scripture, but also instructed. It's not only a good idea, but is required of us to give Him thanks, to give Him praise, to give Him glory, because it is due to Him. It is due to Him. He deserves the glory. He deserves the glory. He deserves the thanks, the honor, the majesty, the power, rule, and dominion belongs to our God. And so we pray and we say thank you. We say thank you in response to who He is, in response to what He does, in response to what He says, in response to His promises. We say thank you to God. We say thank you to God. And in that note, I'm going to ask us to take a moment of saying thank you to God. Quiet moment of saying thank you to God. In our hearts, in our minds, find something to say thank you to God for. And at the end of that prayer moment, I'll indicate and we'll say the Lord's Prayer together. And we'll say it consciously and aware of the words we are saying. And we'll say it from our hearts and from our minds. And we express ourselves to God. But before that, we take a moment to prayerfully and quietly express our prayers to God and our thanks to God. And together in the words of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven. Shall we pray together? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Our closing song, All Heavens Declare the Glory of the Risen King. All Heavens Declare.
Thank you.
And shall we pray in closing the service? Our Lord, our God, that we may dwell in the shelter of the Most High and rest under the shadow of the Almighty. That we will say of the Lord, He is our refuge and our fortress, our God in whom we trust. As we close the service, Lord, allow us to dwell in your presence, to walk in your presence, and that we will say, in him we live and move and have our being. As we go in the blessing of God and in the mercies of God, through Christ Jesus we pray. Amen. 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 Thank you. Thank you so much. Our service is thus ending here. See you next week. I understand the new rules do not prohibit us coming back with all the precautions as we are doing. So unless otherwise things change, see you here next week. God bless you.